janefinch.com.
First of all, I want to say thank you to everyone that's sitting here tonight. I want to welcome everyone of you and the candidates as well. My name is Lisa Bodram. I'm the employment counselor of Elspeth Hayward Center for Women. And today I would like to introduce you to our organization and a few services that we provide to the community. Elspeth Hayward Center for Women is a nonprofit charitable organization that tailors to the needs of newcomers, women, and their families. At EHCW, we empower women and their families to become active participants in this community. We offer settlement services, such as U.S. visa applications, Canadian citizenship applications, work permit, and study permits. We also have an employment service that focuses on assisting newcomers with building their cover letters, resume, and helping them through the Canadian job market. EHCW offers a variety of additional service, which includes, but not limited to, counseling, recreational activities for seniors, such as bingo, arts, and crafts. We do field trips to numerous locations. We have ESL programs, health-related programs, employment workshops that are available to all. I would like to take this opportunity to welcome our candidates this evening. For the Conservative Party, it's Carlene Nations. Tom Rakosovic for the NDP. And Joseph Rainey for the Green Party. I also want to give a big thank you to the Jane and Finch Mall for helping out with this event. We encourage everyone of this community to attend this event, voice your concerns, and ask questions that are affecting anything that are affecting your everyday lifestyles. We would like to thank all of you for participating in this event, as it is a great opportunity for you to voice your concerns. And now, I would like to introduce you to this evening's moderator, Paul Nguyen. Paul is a resident of the Toronto Jane and Finch community. In 2004, he created janefinch.com to break the negative stereotype that's within this community. Paul is an award-winning journalist, social activist, and filmmaker. He has received widespread praises from political leaders such as former Minister of Multiculturalism, Mr. Hedy Fry, and former Prime Minister of Canada, Joe Clark. Please help me welcome Paul.
Thank you for that introduction, Lisa. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, residents of Jane and Finch. My name is Paul Nguyen, and I grew up here in Jane and Finch, so I care about this community very much. And I'd like to thank the Jane Finch Mall for hosting this event, and I'd like to thank all the candidates who came out today to engage you, the residents, with this year's election. Now, I'm just going to give a little introduction for each candidate. I'll start off with Tom Rakosovic. York West has been the lifelong home of Tom Rakosovic. For 20 years, he has been working for safer neighborhoods, affordable and better education, a cleaner environment, and the rights of tenants and workers. Tom is a municipal councillor's assistant. As an activist, he has canvassed the community countless times, advocating for these causes and in support of representatives who share a positive vision for York West. He was also instrumental in putting together a new team of city inspectors to keep rental housing cleaner, safer, and more livable. Tom has organized local schools to teach students about the environment and the importance of keeping our parks clean. I'm going to skip Mario Sergio, he's not quite here yet. Carlene Nation was a reporter, writer, and producer with CTV News Toronto. In 2001, she was appointed diversity producer, where she was responsible for increasing the representation of diverse communities in local and national newscasts. A well-respected broadcaster, Carlene has been with CTV since 1993. There, she used the same work ethic she developed as a teenager to win an African-Canadian Achievement Award for her journalistic accomplishments. As an avid volunteer in her community, Carlene takes pride in speaking to young people across the GTA. In addition, she has mentored community groups to help them get news coverage of their issues and connect them to key members of the media. As an immigrant to Canada and a single mother, Carlene understands the value of hard work and perseverance. Joseph Rini was born and raised in Toronto and is currently involved in a variety of community level fitness and sport initiatives. Joseph graduated with a BA in economics from the University of Toronto in 2008, where he captained the varsity soccer team. He has since worked at IBM, started a small consulting company, and currently runs a bootcamp fitness company in North York, and is part of the Vaughan Soccer Club's technical coaching staff. Joseph is an avid athlete and lover of the outdoors. He currently plays in the Canadian Soccer League and enjoys exercising outdoors, cycling, and camping. Now I'm going to get to the basic ground rules. I will ask each candidate the question. They will have 60 seconds to respond. The timekeeper will give you a signal when you have 10 seconds left. I know how politicians like to ramble on and on, so we're going to be ruthless here because we've got to keep to the time limit since we started late. And around in the halfway throughout, we're going to give the audience an opportunity to ask questions to the candidates. So without further ado, we'll get to it. And I will start from left to right. Okay, so the first question. Out of all the promises you intend to make, which one would be your top priority? And if worse comes to worse, which ones would be eliminated if the budget was not accurate? Joseph.
Is this on? Are you hearing that? Hello? Hi. Is it Thanks a lot. Yeah, sorry. Hello? There you go. Okay. I guess the major promise that I think is probably the most important at this point would be the job creation sort of aspect of the Green Party's platform. Right now, the Green Party is promising a lot of funding into the manufacturing sector, a traditionally strong sector in Ontario that has both structurally as well as just due to the economic downturn dropped off in the past years. So the Green Party is behind major initiatives to get green manufacturing jobs, smart manufacturing jobs back in Ontario, particularly pertaining to the York West region with its manufacturing capabilities and history. I certainly say that job creation, smart job creation, is one of the most important aspects of our platform. Thanks.
Question, Paul.
Which one would be your top priority? And okay. If worse comes to worse, which ones would be eliminated if the budget was not accurate?
Okay. Hello, friends. Hi, everybody. I want you to all come over and grab a seat. Come grab a seat and sit down. Listen to what we've got to say. This election is of critical importance. The key priority of the PC parties to put more money in your pocket. Don McGuinty knows how to do two things. That is to waste your hard-earned tax dollars and then to raise taxes, hit you with tax increases, one right after the other. The priority that I have the great honor and privilege to run as the PC candidate, but I have the privilege of running in our community here in York West. This community needs strong leadership at Queen's Park. York West has not had any effective leadership in almost a decade. As a result, if you look all over the GTA, Markham, Richmond Hill, Scarborough, whether it's Oakville or Mississauga, all these other ridings are doing well, except York West. Because we have not had strong representative at Queen's Park. The key priority is to help reduce your hydro costs. Because under the Don McGuinty Liberals, your hydro bill has soared 85%.
Thank you.
That's one of the key things we'll be working on. And we have more to come.
Thank you, Carlene. I'll let Tom go next? Tom, please.
Carlene can really project her voice. I can say that. Thanks, Jane Finch Mall. Thank you, Elspeth Hayward, Center for Women, and as well, Paul Nguyen, a neighbor, who's I got a lot of respect for. He's got great talent. My promise that I make when I knock on doors is that I'm going to be there, that I'm going to work hard. I've been in this community since I was born. I've been working hard for tenants. I've been working hard for students. I've been working hard for seniors. I'm going to continue to do that when I'm elected at Queen's Park. I've been in the buildings. I've been in the community centers. I've been advocating for students. This has to continue. We haven't had that for years now at the provincial level. We have police officers in our schools now. We've got tenants who are being evicted from apartments, who are struggling. The cost of living is going up. I am going to be in this community. I'm going to be a strong voice at Queen's Park. That is my pledge. That is my promise to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. I'd like to welcome Mario Sergio. Thank you for coming. I'll just repeat the question. The first question is, out of all the promises you intend to make, which ones would be your top priority?
Are you saying you won't give me a couple minutes to introduce myself?
60 seconds, please.
It's not my fault, but I was at the ribbon cutting of another wonderful organization in our area, so my apologies for being late. But I'm Mario Sergio, the sitting member for your quest, and I'm delighted to be in this campaign where we have to build on what we have already started, the foundations 8 years ago. I hope I will explain, I have a chance to answer some of the comments, but your question was, what am I going to?
What is your top priority?
My top priorities? Well, I have already seen my top priorities coming to fruition. That is the brand new Humber River Regional Hospital and the subway to York University. We have the one of five diabetic centers in Jane and Finch here. We have a new engineering and science building, school, as a matter of fact, in our community here. So this is what I've been doing. And I've been working with all the various communities in the Jane and Finch. If Jane and Finch is better today, it's because of the work that I have been doing on behalf of the people of Jane and Finch.
Thank you, Mario. Perfect, beautiful. Second question, due to today's rising cost of living, when is it time to increase wages? And when would this come into effect? Joseph?
I'm always first, I guess. as far as increased wages, the Green Party is behind raising the minimum wage. It's absolutely a tenet of the Green Party's principles as far as increasing equality among individuals, upping the wages of lower income workers. And we believe that now is the time to do that as well. We don't believe that low minimum wage helps the economy in any way. In fact, it's largely responsible for increased inequality, which has majorly affected Toronto in recent years. Another major tenet of the Green Party is to increase the personal tax exemption by an additional $2,000, which is not exactly minimum wage, but another way that the Green Party is committed to helping low-income families. Thanks.
Thank you, Joseph. Mario.
It's on? Okay. The short answer is this, that since we took power in 2003, we have increased the minimum wages 7 times. Prior to that, for the prior 10 years, prior to 2003, minimum wage was not increased once by 1 cent. If I can add to that, we did that because we wanted to assist the low-income people. We have created a world-class citizens organization assisting the young people at a very early age, which has been touted as the best program in North America. We are providing families with $1,000, $1,100 a year. It's going to go up to $1,300 next year. We have instituted the daycare, and nursing for daycare centers. Oh, am I time? Ooh, it's a good question. Can I come back to it? I hope so.
Thank you, Mario. Carlene, please.
What the McGuinty liberals want us to forget is that there's 550,000 people unemployed today in this province. 300,000 people, 300,000 jobs wiped out in the manufacturing sector. And it's as a direct result of the high taxes that the McGuinty liberals have hit a lot of small businesses. Whether they drive a cab, or they have a small restaurant, or they're in the dry cleaning business, the taxes are killing business in this province. As a result, in this riding, we have countless thousands of young people out of work. One of the key things I want to do when I'm elected, if I, God willing, I'm given the opportunity to be elected on October 6th, is to host a huge employment fair where we bring in all the major companies into York West so that we can pair them up with all of the young people in this riding. Talented young people from the university in the high schools.
Thank you, Carly.
So that we can create greater employment opportunities.
Tom?
Every year, the cost of everything is going up, thanks to inflation. So if wages aren't increasing, that means your wages are going down. The Liberal government voted against increasing minimum wage, despite the pressure of the NDP. Our own member was part of that legislature who actually voted to increase their own salaries while voting against minimum wage increases, which I find to be very hypocritical. Only because the NDP held their feet to the fire did they actually give in and support raising the minimum wage rather than the big corporations, which is really whom they serve. We have to consider that we always have to be mindful of wages. As inflation goes up, we have to continue to look at ways of raising wages so that people can live, raise their families, and have some financial security.
Thank you, Tom. All right, the next question is, Toronto is Ontario's capital, and we have many tourists and several events that are available to the public. What do you plan on doing for the city's environment? Cleaning up the garbage, graffiti, etc. Joseph?
Thanks. I mean, the Green Party's environment is definitely, I guess, the strong suit of the Green Party's platform. Besides huge investments in infrastructure, getting people onto the subway, onto the TTC, out of their cars, making the streets livable, increasing access to bicycle routes, and making communities more livable. There's major funding in the Green Party's sort of concept for that. Ways that the city can become more beautiful, people can enjoy the outdoors, access it, and in addition, the result is preventative healthcare through a more active community, a more active populace. Thanks.
Thank you, Joseph. Mr. Sergio.
It is the city's responsibility to keep the city clean. Even though as a province, we give the city hundreds of million dollars a year for arts, craft, recreational program, after school programs, we support keeping the schools open for using of the gyms, for transportation, for assisting with keeping our city what it is or what it should be. We don't tell the city which graffiti they should be going to clean or which street they should fix. It is entirely up to the city. We give the city 2 cents from the gasoline alone, worth $374 million. It is up to them how they spend that kind of money. We go for the bigger things. I think the city, at least what they should be doing, it is proper maintenance of the sidewalks, picking up the garbage on a regular basis, keeping our parks clean and green, sweeping our streets.
This is what
the city is supposed to be doing.
Thank you,
and
Mario.
We, as a province, we are contributing to that.
Thank you. Carlene.
One of the key planks in the Progressive Conservative Party, the key commitment, is to give all municipalities a greater percentage of the gas tax and the mining tax. The McGuinty Liberals collect a lot of our tax dollars, which they keep. The PC Party's committing to give cities a greater portion of the gas tax and also to give cities $35 billion to boost their local economies and to help with infrastructure costs. That's what a lot of cities are struggling with. It's a lack of resources, and the PC Party's hoping to work with cities to help them to deliver the services that residents need.
Thank you, Carlene. Tom?
It's not enough to pass off responsibility. If you're the member of provincial parliament, you can actually set targets for the cities and the municipalities to follow. So it's not enough to just pass it off and say it's not the responsibility of the province. Get involved, be active. I've actually been active. I've been helping organize local schools, going with students into parks, talking about how it's important to take pride in your community, to help clean up areas, parks, how beautiful nature is, and to be a part of it. I've actually been doing that. This is something that is just not enough to pass off. We got to continue to set recycling waste diversion targets. That's something that we can again set at the provincial level to municipalities. It's very important. So it's not enough. And as well, we have packagers, we have businesses. Are they using the most efficient packaging, or are they just creating lots and lots of waste that ends up on our streets and our sidewalks? So again, not enough to pass on responsibility to the municipality. If you don't like it, do something about it.
Thank you, Tom. Next question. Compared to Maple, Toronto has high insurance for people that drive older vehicles, and yet they're paying a substantial amount of money more because of the area they live in. Do you have plans on lowering the cost of auto insurance into Ontario? Left or right? Joseph, please.
Yeah, always first. Sure, I was just having this conversation with a friend, actually, who's stuck in the same situation. My mom's stuck in the same situation, too. And certainly plans where individuals' driver record is what influences their driving insurance rather than where they live, which is largely, in my opinion, isn't determinative of their likelihood of being in an accident. So I'm not sure exactly how much an MPP has this ability to influence the insurance companies on that, but in principle, it's something that I think makes sense.
Thank you, Joseph. Mario.
There is no question about that insurance rate could be lower. They are high. It's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, I believe personally that insurance rate should be based on driver's experience and type of a car you drive and not where you live. It's got nothing to do with that. It is strictly the type of car and your driving experience. Given the fact that there are a lot of accidents, there is a lot of abuses, insurance companies say they are losing a lot of money, so somebody has to pay. I don't think it's a fair system. I think we have to relook at FISCO, go after FISCO and say something has to be done. You know, the NDP, they had a chance to bring in public insurers that they didn't. The PCs, they had the same thing, they didn't do it. We did something to lower them, to give people a choice, but I believe there is room to do more with respect to auto insurance.
Thank you. Carlene?
I've spoken to countless business owners, especially gentlemen who drive their cabs, and they've been complaining a lot about the high insurance rates. And it's a problem. It's been a persistent problem for the past 8 years. We haven't seen the McGuinty Liberals do anything to tackle this in any kind of substantive way. This is something that we will be discussing as one of the many issues that we'll be bringing to the table after October 6th. and to get the PC party to look into this as an issue. I can't sit here today and tell you I'm going to commit to dropping insurance rates. It's not something I can sit and it's not something I can say substantially today. It's something that's, it's one of the critical issues that our party has to look at.
Thank you, Carlene. Tom?
This is an issue I hear time and time at the door. They look at your postal code, then they rip you off. It's not fair. We've had a Liberal government for 8 years. Nothing's been done with regards to this issue. It's not good enough. It's absolutely unequivocally unfair. And at the same time, while you're being gouged and ripped off on your insurance, the same Liberal government is lowering corporate taxes and then contemplating making, for instance, business entertainment of these same CEOs of these companies that are ripping you off as part of an HST write-off. So the same people that are looking at your postal code, taking your hard-earned money from you, you're paying fees more than what the car is actually worth. How's that even fair? And then they're actually thinking about reducing corporate taxes further and further and further. This is a government that's out of touch. This is definitely a major issue that we have to look at. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. I have an immigration question. Do you have plans for people that are waiting for their application that they applied under the skilled worker category before 2008? When the policies were changed and now they're being told they need to wait until 2013, do you intend on creating a standard reply to give these people some sort of response, whether they are accepted or declined? Joseph?
I can. So the question is how the reply to them will go, or just in general?
Well, now the policy has changed. They applied under the skilled worker category before 2008. So now they're going to have to wait till 2013. Now are you going to have a response for these people?
Yeah, I mean, sure. Absolutely. A response to them as far as their standing within the process seems fair and reasonable. In addition, the Green Party, one of its major premises is to accentuate the process and speed up the process by which foreign doctors and other foreign professionals who are in the country and are currently not accredited, to speed the process up by which they can begin practicing. So we get doctors who are doing jobs, less skilled jobs, in sectors working for people where they're skilled and where they can help people. Thanks.
Thank you. Mario.
Yeah. It is important, first of all, to know that immigration, it's a federal issue. It's in their jurisdiction. But the fact is that once they come into our province, we have to absorb them. We have to look after them. Sometimes we have to train them, not only in English language, but in skills and trades as well. This has been a big bone of contention between the province and the federal government. We want to have new immigrants, not only the skilled professionals, but all new immigrants, to have them come into the workforce, into the social life, into our province or Canadian social life, as quickly as possible. The Board of Governors of Canada said that every year that we wait in not looking after our immigrants, in training them and allowing them to work in their professional field or whatever, it's costing us between $1.5 and $2.5 billion.
Thank you, Mario.
Okay.
Thank you. Carlene, please.
Could you repeat the question, Paul? What was the question?
It's about the skilled workers. They applied before 2008, but now the policies have changed, so they're still waiting a response, and it looks like they're going to wait until 2013 now. How are you going to help these people out?
It's the one thing I'll agree with Mario on, is that this is the domain of the federal government. But the critical thing for many newcomers to Canada, especially since Ontario receives a lot of newcomers, the critical thing for them is jobs. It's jobs and services. We in York West, we have communities. We speak up to 200 languages here in York West. Out of the 550,000 people that are unemployed in this province, the vast majority of them, or quite a substantial amount, are newcomers to this province. It's critical that we provide an infrastructure where we can offer jobs immediately to newcomers. I spoke to a gentleman who's been here from Somalia for 17 years, and he's saying he's leaving, he's packing up, he's taking his family to Saudi Arabia because he cannot find proper employment here. It's time that this our government focus on this, and this is going to be a priority of the Tim Hudak government and the PC party.
Thank you, Carly.
It's about creating jobs for Ontarians and especially for newcomers.
Thank you. Tom?
Let me answer this in a very simple way. When residents have questions, they deserve answers. When they're asking, they deserve to be answered. So yes, there are people that are waiting. Rules have changed on them, and they're not going to have an answer for 5 years. So obviously, this is something that we should be advocating for, answers to people's questions. But actually, under the Liberals for the last 8 years, it's not uncommon for people to be waiting. Waiting for daycare, waiting for special ed for their children, waiting for home care, waiting for surgery, waiting in line at hospitals. A lot of waiting's been happening in the last 8 years, and a lot of questions haven't been answered. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. I have a good question for everyone here today. What makes this more than a job to you? What would make you the better leader for our community? Joseph, please.
what makes this more than a job would be the sort of passion that I have right now for making change, for the environment, for guiding Ontario and York West, sort of at this juncture right now. We're in an economic sort of downturn. Where can we go? How can we make smart jobs? How can we get working people working, give them breaks on their tax? How can we conserve energy? Where are we going with our energy policy? Are we going to go nuclear, or can we make smarter choices and go towards, which is one of the Green Party's policies, towards decentralized energy production, clean energy production? How are these things going to go moving forward for future generation of Ontarians?
Thank you, Joseph. Mr. Sergio.
Thank you. I've been working in the community for many, many years. We have cleaned up the gangs and gangs from Jen and Finch area here and other areas. We have created jobs in our community. We have provided assistance to many of local organizations working with single mothers, single parents, kids at all age. We have done a heck of a good job. We have started TAPS as well from Jen and Finch over here. We have hired 1,000 policemen. Many of them, they are walking our schools and the beats to keep the community safe and clean. Now we have an administration that wants to cut 1,000 policemen that we have hired. I've been working on behalf of the people, not only of York West, but when you're in government, you have to work on behalf of the people of Ontario. We built 18 new hospitals. We built 400 schools. We built 5,000 kilometers of new roads.
Thank you, Mario. Thank you. Carlene?
I'm really proud to get the opportunity to participate in this election. It's something that I think is of critical importance. Every Canadian should run for office. I've worked for many years with CTV as a reporter, and for the past 11 years as CTV's diversity producer. I've worked with the ethno-cultural communities right across the board, increasing CTV's representation of diverse faces in our local and national newsrooms. Outside of my work, I work with local communities, educating them about how to get coverage for their stories, how to deal with the media, who to pitch their stories to, because this is a critical area for a lot of communities, and how to tell their stories, how to tell their success stories, or how to cover the hard issues. I lived in this community. I grew up in the York Southwestern, and I'm very familiar with the needs of this community. I lived in affordable housing for 5 years. I understand the challenges of affordable housing. I raised a child as a single parent. And I understand the challenges of a lot of the residents in this riding.
Thank you, Carly.
We need a strong voice at Queen's Park.
Thank you very much.
I'm that voice.
Tom, please.
This isn't a job. This is a vocation. I love my community. I've lived here all my life. I went to local schools like Derrydown, Elias, C.W. Jeffries, and York University. I've taught I've been an educator in this area. I've been an activist since I was 15 years old, fighting for tenants' rights, working for better wages. We talked about the minimum wage increase. I was out with petitions at Shoreham Court, at Driftwood Court, knocking on doors, trying to make people understand how important it is to vote and be involved. There's a problem when I'm knocking at doors, and I've knocked at thousands of them, and people say they don't know who their MPP is. What makes me qualified is that I've been very active. I believe I've been more active in the last 4 years. I've been out in the community more than our own MPP has. We've had consultations with regards to police and schools. We've had violence in our schools in this area. We've had tenant issues, no answers. Transit issues, no answers. I was out there in the winter, January, February, knocking on doors, telling people that the current administration at City Hall wants to cut services that they rely on. I was out there knocking on doors. Where's our MPP been?
Thank you, Tom. Now, Toronto is a diverse and rapidly changing city with significant, complex social needs. The not-for-profit community service sector is something that the majority of Toronto's population relies on. In the past year, not-for-profit agencies have lost more than $43 million in funding, which has made it impossible to keep services running and available to the public. If elected, do you have plans on giving back some funding to these organizations to enable them to help the community? Joseph, please.
Sure. To be clear, a lot of this funding is coming, being cut at a city level, although the province is contributes to some of that funding through programs. Green Party's behind increased funding to things like after-school programs, programs that get healthy, nutritious food on the in the tables at schools for needy children, preventative health and preventative sort of activities, after-school programs that get kids doing things off the streets, involved. So those are some areas that the Green Party is dedicated towards, giving funding to the city, which makes a decision ultimately on these local programs, as you said.
Thank you, Joseph. Mario, please.
You know, it's very hard that you have 1 minute to say something and someone keeps on saying nothing every time other than saying, I will do, I will do, I will do. You know something, my friends? We have here our platform. It is here. The election is almost over, and I still have to see a platform from any of these two people's party leaders here. I still have to see that. Where is it? You tell me. You tell me what you're gonna do to create jobs, to keep the environment clean, to keep our kids in school safe, to provide a good secondary education, to build more schools, universities, to hire more nurses, more doctors. They don't talk about that. Well, I have been doing that. We hired nurses. We created a health team in the area. We hired 2 nurses, 7 doctors in this area here. It's easy to say, I will.
Thank you,
the
Mario.
Fact is that they have an empty platform and there is nothing that they can propose factually.
Thank you very much. Carlene, please.
Mr. Sergio should log on to our website and see our platform. Our platform came out 2 months before the Liberal platform. So please log on to changebook.ca. You'll see everything outlined. The reason why a lot of not-for-profits have seen their funding cut is because of the dire state of the economic situation here in Ontario. The McGuinty Liberals have run up so much debt. $1 billion lost on e-health. $1 billion that could have gone into the healthcare system. Their LHINs, the local health integration networks, $300 million taken out of that. Then we have 630 agencies, boards, and commissions all stacked with McGuinty Liberals. All of their cronies earning over $150,000. The PC party's committing to get rid of waste in the system so we have more money to take care of our residents. We've seen too much waste. The McGuinty Liberals is also going to spend $7 billion to send to South Korea in the Samsung deal.
Thank you, Carlene.
$7 billion that should be spent here in Ontario on services for residents.
Thank you, Carlene. Tom, please.
I'd like to respectfully disagree with Mr. Sergio. I think there's a lot to be angry about for the last 4 years in the community. He only seems to be heated and angry at these debates. But I think the community would have been happy if he was a lot more energetic and angrier for the last 4 years. And I think that we must definitely invest in our nonprofits. I've been working alongside of them. We have wonderful nonprofits in the area that are helping students who are falling through the cracks under the liberal education system and a broken funding formula. Where are these students gonna go? How many people have I met in this community, friends of mine, that thanks to nonprofits in our area, it has turned their lives around? We of course have to advocate for these. And I think that the people at these debates would love to hear what we and I would do, not what a platform sent by the central party tells you. In fact, I don't think if that stuff was said, our representative would have anything to say at these debates. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. Now, what are you planning to do for the Jane Finch community by reducing its reputation of being dangerous and by making the community more presentable to assist them in making this transition? Joseph, please.
Sorry. Sure, I mean, in order to continue working at improving Jane Finch's reputation, which has improved recently, we need programs, we need funding into after school programs, keeping kids and teenagers occupied, continuing to educate them, and we need jobs, which the Green Party is, as I said, is behind. We need lower tax rates for low and middle income families, not for corporations. People hear tax cut and they don't make the distinction between, is it for big businesses, or is it for individuals, or is it for small businesses? Those are areas that, through reducing poverty, through increased programs, we're going to be able to continue improving Jane Finch and York West's economic standing and, by extension, reputation.
Thank you, Joseph. Mario, please.
If you remember, a few years ago, we were having a lot of, if you will, crime in the Jane and Finch area. Not only we hired the 1,000 policemen, but we have cleaned up the area. We practically don't have any more gangs in the Jane and Finch. We spent $28 million on a youth strategy where most of the local organizations are working with our youth. We have created after-school programs. I have to say that we have the lowest dropout rate in our schools. This is a historic number in the province of Ontario. They are either in school, they are either in skills job or training schools. We have provided more affordable housing for the families. We have provided summer jobs for the students in the area. Is my time up? It is.
Thank you, Mario. Carlene, please.
The key thing that is lacking in terms of Jane and Finch, this great community, is a lack of marketing. Jane and Finch needs to be marketed in a whole different way. This area has a lot of great positive things. It's a great infrastructure for businesses. We have a lot of talented young people in our high schools and universities. We need to market Jane and Finch as a hub for business so that we can bring more business into this community. And we need to encourage other communities to come into our community here and shop. We got the best deals in town. We've got great stores. We've got great resources here. It's a place that should be marketed so that we can provide more benefits to our young people. All we have to do, Jane and Finch has had a bad rap over the years primarily because it has not been marketed effectively. And that's one of the things I will do. I worked for 6 years as a marketing specialist at the Toronto Stock Exchange in addition to my 20 years as a reporter.
Thank you, Carly.
I am the best person qualified to tell the world about how great Jane and Finch
Thank
is.
Thank you, Carlene. Thank you. Tom, please.
Paul, can you repeat the question? I think we're...
What are you going to do to make Jane Finch better? our rep.
Wow. 1 minute, eh? There's so much that can be done here, and there's so much that hasn't been done already, and we need to invest in so many different things. We made a major home care announcement to add 1 million hours. There's so many people that are lacking dignity, health care, home care, seniors. Jane and Finch is a home to such a diverse population, different age groups. I've been advocating for this community. I've lived here all my life. I've went to local schools. We actually started a bicycle race in this community 5 years ago called the Black Creek at Trudy University Heights Bike Race, where we actually had cyclists from across the city showing up. I agree with Miss Nation. There's so much that we can do here to actually advertise this community. It's a wonderful community. I love it. It's safe. Yes, we have challenges that our MPP has not been really very involved, I think, in supporting, despite what are being said or the quotations of stats that are happening on a high level. And I don't think it's fair to actually lump in our beautiful community with what's happening with the rest of Ontario. We have very definite needs. Jobs, education, fix the funding formula. We have crumbling schools. We have students that are dropping out. Our nonprofits are losing money. There's so many things that we need to do, and we need an active representative that's actually going to do this. And I've been fighting for my community since I've been 15, and I'm going to continue that work. And as MPP, it will be an honor to continue to do so.
Thank you very much, Tom. Now I'm just going to open the floor up to questions from the audience. And if you'd have a question, you can please line up over here. You can direct it to any candidate you want. We'll give them an opportunity to answer. And so if anyone, feel free to come up. Don't be shy. I know you have questions. I know Errol does.
Hi.
Hi.
You can turn this way so you don't get feedback.
Sure. Thank you. At the last debate a couple days ago, I was moderator, not as good a moderator as this gentleman, but I tried. But I noticed one thing when it was centered on education. A number of people asked about the funding formula, and they kept asking because they didn't get answers from either the two candidates that showed up. It didn't look like you understood the question. The question was, do you understand how the provincial funding formula, created by the conservatives, supported by the liberals all these years, is forcing local community schools to close? We fought against Shoreham closing, and we won. But there are 8 schools around this city that are closing because of provincial policy and the funding formula. Can you tell me how you're going to address that?
The Progressive Conservative Party is going to invest $2 billion more in education than the other parties here. It's going to be used to provide funds, increase OSAP for postgraduate students, and boost supports for elementary and high school students. We've seen a wasteful spending on the part of the McGuinty Liberals over the past 8 years or so that's causing quite a crush in our education system. We see them focus on everything else except A, how to support schools. And one of the critical things that we need to focus on is not just the infrastructure, but supporting kids in terms of helping them to get employment. Another aspect of the education system is the apprenticeship system. So many students want to get into all the different apprenticeship positions. The PC Party is going to create 200,000 new apprenticeship spots for students.
Thank you,
and that
is
critical.
Thank you.
Well, you're not listening. You're not missing the funding.
Okay, we're going to just go left or right. We're going to try to keep order. Let's not turn this into a Jane Finch style thing. Okay.
Schools are closing. I'll tell you why schools are closing.
Okay, Errol.
A lot of people. Yes.
Mario, please, do you have something to say?
It's your problem.
Mario, you can go ahead.
Are you two finished? I mean, I think that people here, they want some real facts, some real information. They don't want something off the top of our heads. That is why I said before, it's all in here. We are the champions in education in the province of Ontario. We have come a long way from 2003. We were the worst ones in 2003 Now we have been judged as with the best education system in the English-speaking world. The question was, what about the funding formula? Under the previous government, they had removed the caps. We said we have to put a stop. No students will graduate or we spend every year more than $7,300. Anything more, we will absorb it. We have just announced a 30% cut to tuition.
Thank you, Mario.
The funding,
thank
closing
you, Mario.
School.
Thank you. Sorry, 60 seconds for questions, 60 seconds for answers. We gotta keep this lean.
I was coming to it, but.
Yeah. Tom, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Young, for the question. He's a former trustee, and actually, his signature's on my diploma, so. Yes, the funding formula was set by Mike Harris and his government in the late 90s. It is a not equitable funding formula that actually funds schools per pupil. And when you're not recognizing the needs and looking at areas differently, you do not have an equitable system. This is a system whereby schools are billions of dollars in capital misrepair. When enrollment rates hit a certain level or below, thanks to this funding formula, schools are forced to close down, and the community came together to fight against this. There was a consultation process. People in this audience were there. I was there. Our MPP was not at that consultation process. So, quoting statistics, not good enough. Even if you're investing in education with the cost of inflation, a third of the school boards across the province are actually operating with less funds. This is a...
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. We have another question from the audience, please.
Okay, my question concerns the LRT line that was cut coming into the Jane and Finch area, and that is all across the Finch line because of the congestion that as we have been having traveling from one area to the other. I was in the deputation downtown, and I was told by the chair of TTC that the city, the councillors, had no say in it, and it was a provincial matter that the money was taken by the provincial department and put with the Ford government, into the Eglinton line to build a subway. What is that candidate and that elected person going to do to bring that LRT line in the Jane and Finch area?
Thank you for the question. I'll just remind the candidates, we're gonna go left to right. Left to right. Yes, please. I'm trying my best, Mario. Joseph, go ahead. 60 seconds.
So I mean, I think people are aware that the city has and we just saw it, has say in where the TTC goes. We just saw Ford, the mayor, what he did with the major changes to previous recommendations. But I grew up taking the 36 Finch West every single day, and I saw the congestion on the bus, waiting, missing buses. And I think that the Green Party's putting forth a lot of funding into, I mean, we have the subway now coming to York, but that doesn't bring people within the community. It brings people to the community. A small amount can move along it, but we need funding for improved, either be it more buses or improved routes like the LRT you just talked about. And what sort of committees can go forward to make decisions on that is something the Green Party's behind.
Thank you, Joseph. Mario, please.
You know, you have to be very careful. You really have to listen very carefully what we are saying. I'm not going to point fingers, but Tom works as the executive assistant to NDP councillor Tony Peruzza. He sits on city council. He was sitting on city council with the Miller administration. They've been dealing for 4 years to bring in the Finch LRT. Well, they didn't. Now we have a new administration. And the mayor says, I don't like LRTs. I like subways. Well, you know what, folks? The province has nothing to do with it, has no say what they do. The only thing we do, and it's still there, it's the funding that they required from us, that they asked from the province. It was on the table, it's still on the table, will be on the table. It's a decision that the city council couldn't make, and Mr. Thomas should know.
Thank you, Mario.
Is strictly a city decision. It's got nothing to do with the province of Ontario.
Thank you, Mario. Carlene, please.
One of the things the Progressive Conservative Party will do is to give cities, municipalities, $35 billion for infrastructure costs. I can't say to you, miss, that they're going to bring the LRT back. It's not something I can sit here and tell you is going to happen. But one of the key priorities is how do we effectively move the vast majority of people and goods across this province? And those are the things that the Progressive Conservative Party will look at doing. We've had the cities struggle over time. I know, I'm familiar with the LRT. I take the LRT out in Scarborough every day going to work. It gets gummed up in the wintertime. It's probably not the best system because if you have a heavy snowfall, that thing is stuck. You can't move. Is it more effective than subways? That's something that's being debated now at the city level. But one thing the Progressive Conservative Party will do is to give cities back a greater portion of the gas tax and give them $35 billion to spend on infrastructure costs like subways and or LRTs.
Thank you very much. Tom, please.
You know, we started this this forum with our representative taking credit for a subway extension. Now he's saying transit has nothing to do with the city. This is coming from the same person that wanted to impose term limits on politicians, and here he is 34 years later as a politician asking to be reelected. But he's got to get his facts straight. He had nothing to do with transit in the last 4 years in the community. We actually had lots of consultation, and we were very proud to see Transit City, a very wonderful plan that would invest millions of dollars. We have 40,000 bus users stuck in traffic here on Finch Avenue. And when this new mayor, who didn't understand the plan, decided, hey, I'm going to take the money out of this community, his government, and he could have actually advocated, like I've been doing since this new administration at City Hall has happened, to get Transit City back on the table and to reinvest in our community and bring the LRT back, which is something I'm committed to fight for, because this is a wonderful community and our representatives need to fight for it, like I've been doing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to remind the candidates just to please limit your attacks because we're trying to get through all the questions and just respond and how are you going to help them?
No, Paul, we told you respect. We told you respect.
Okay.
The last one. He can say whatever the hell he wants.
Thank you, Mario. We're going to have to get to the questions. The residents are waiting, please.
Switch?
Residents, please. Thank you.
I would like to ask, like to make a statement, then ask the question. Because of the passing of Jack, a conservative woman and her infant daughter were waiting on the chalk line. She said she will stop voting for a party and vote for an individual. I am now voting for an individual in this coming election who can deliver and not a party. Finally, I will ask all the candidates a very simple question. What are you doing for seniors, especially a guy like me who have served 40 years on the workforce? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Joseph, please.
Sure, to answer very directly, $2 billion for seniors in terms of care initiatives. As I stated before, raising the personal tax exemption, tax cuts for low and middle income earners, which likely include seniors on pension earnings. In addition to the health care, $2 billion for local level health care initiatives. All of these things that make access to the sort of things that become difficult for seniors more available at a community level, taking out commute times, taking out wait times. So I guess those are areas that certainly apply directly to seniors, and I think that they'll see and feel gains more time and less stress. Thanks.
Thank you, Joseph. Mario, please.
Thank you. No other government has done more for seniors than we did. First of all, we have 5 rebates which go to seniors. We have lowered the personal tax provincially. 93% of Ontarians pay a lower tax, saving $355 a year. 90,000 middle and low income seniors do not pay any personal income tax whatsoever. Seniors that are sick at home, we have announced a program where they will be getting visits from doctors at home, nurses, and other service agents. Our seniors receive excellent care in nursing homes. We have created 9,000 more spaces in nursing homes. In long-term care, we have hired 7,000 staff and other people to assist them as well.
Thank you, Mario. Thank you very much.
Seniors are worse off today after 8 years of the McGuinty Liberals than they have ever been at any time in our province's history. They're suffering under high hydro bills. Many of them are stuck in hospital waiting rooms, waiting hours and hours and hours for help. They can't get assistance through they can't find long-term care beds. You have to wait up to 180 days to get a long-term care bed in this province. You can't take care of a family member at home with assistance from the government because there is no money. The Liberals have wasted all of the money. People are paying out of pocket to take care of their family members at home. I met a lady who shut off her oven. She says, I don't bake anymore because my hydro bills are so high. Under the McGuinty Liberals, your hydro bills have risen 85%, and you're paying 155% for hydro. These are the two biggest expenses for seniors in their homes. And even if you're in an apartment,
you're
still paying high hydro bills. It's one of the things the PC party will reduce.
Thank you very much.
If elected.
Tom, go ahead.
Seniors built this country. They built this country. They deserve to live in dignity and not to feel abandoned, which is what I'm hearing when I knock on the doors. We made a major announcement as the NDP to add 1 million hours of home care. There was a lady, a wonderful lady in our community, a senior, a widow, who rose her children alone, struggling to hold on to her home, who after a major surgery received only 1 hour a week. 1 hour. Someone showed up at her home and left. She was in tears. We have to invest in more home care. And I've been working at City Hall, actually helping bring in programs, rebate programs, to help seniors stay in their homes. I've been actually going out into the community myself, visiting homes, helping them fill out paperwork to save the money. For seniors who are tenants, I've been fighting for tenant rights. Again, helping them in casework whenever there's a need that arises. There's so much more we should be doing for our seniors. And in this area, there's been reports written on a lack of healthcare in Jane and Finch, even in the York West Advocate, which I suggest you all read, that there is an absolute lack of healthcare in Jane and Finch that we have to continue to support. So thank you for the question.
Thank you, Tom. Next question from the audience, please.
Okay, I'll get to the point. First of all, Sergio, it's very nice to finally put a face to the name. With all due respect, I don't want you to let loose with a violent or abusive tirade, but really and truly, I've been to your website, I've seen the information on there, and one thing that I found to be particularly interesting was your idea of term limits. You believe that city councilors should have 2 terms, and that's it, 2 consecutive terms, that is. And I'd like to know why it is that you are contesting for a 5th term. Because quite frankly, as a resident of this area in general, I haven't seen your participation. I really haven't, to be very honest. The second question I'd like to pose is to Ms. Nation. I would like to know why we should vote for the Progressive Conservative Party, because it is a party that is perceived as a party that is not friendly to people of color. In other words, minority people. It doesn't seem to be a party that is welcoming. And so on that basis, I would like to ask, I must say, if I can just say this, that I think that the point that was made by the gentleman earlier, the one that preceded me, is a very good point. There are times when principles are associated with the candidate and not necessarily the party specifically. In other words, the first thing that comes to mind is the candidate and the integrity of the candidate. Being able to show up for a crucial vote, like for example, Mr. Mario or Sergio, the vote that you did not show up for at the Ontario Legislature that would have benefited seniors and people with disabilities, which includes people such as myself. Which vote? The vote in March. He's asking me which vote. The vote in March. You didn't show up. I mean, I know that you had an out-of-town engagement, but I don't think that a vote that would have deferred the taxes for seniors and people such as myself with disabilities is something that you should... Just one second, sorry. Is something that you should avoid. I mean, and just the fact that you turned up here late shows the lack of respect for the voters, as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you. I'll just let Mario Sergio respond to the first question first. You may go ahead.
Change the order.
It's too late for that. We're sticking to the protocol. We're going to go left to right. Mario, would you like to respond to her first question, please?
Absolutely. If there is someone that has done something for seniors, with all due respect, it's this person here. My record, it's very clear. Since 2003, I have been a parliamentary assistant to one minister or the other. Very often, the minister is in the house, the parliamentary assistant must represent the minister out of the house. If I miss a vote, you have to find out first where I was, what I was doing, if you want to ask a proper question and pose it to these people here. But let me say this. No, I'm sorry. No. I did not interrupt you.
And you did not turn up to vote.
I did not interrupt you. I did not interrupt you.
It went down in flames.
Paul, I did.
It went down in flames.
No. Come on.
Did not turn up for it.
Come on.
Okay, that's it.
No, I have to finish the answer. I haven't finished the answer.
60 seconds. I'm going to hold on to the mic now. So
I was the one to introduce the Seniors Bill of Rights, where all the Conservatives and the NDP supported unanimously. Was this member, no other member, that introduced a Bill of Rights in the House on behalf of the seniors?
Thank you very much,
I
Mario.
Did it. It was approved. It's over there, and it's a testament to the work that I do on behalf of the seniors.
Thank you.
The fact of the matter, sir, you were not there in the legislature to vote on a bill that would have deferred taxes for seniors and people with disabilities and given them a bit of a break. You weren't there, sir. That was a crucial vote. You were missing in action on that day. I'd like to respond to the second question. The second comment about the PC party. I am the face of the PC party today. People running in our party are of all ethnic backgrounds. We are Canadians. Many, many immigrants say they voted for the Liberals because of Pierre Trudeau. Well, Don McGuinty is not Pierre Elliott Trudeau. It's not what you can do for the party, it's what the party's doing to you. And they're wasting your money and taxing you. You shouldn't be voting because of what happened 40 years ago. What is the Liberals doing to you? Give me two things that Don McGuinty has done to help you. Tell me. I am proud to be a member of the PC party. We have people who are South Asian, Southeast Asian. We have Chinese. We have people of every ethnic background running in this party because we are all Canadians.
Okay, Carly.
And we're sick and tired of the waste and the taxes. McGuinty, just this week, the McGuinty Liberals,
Thank
their
you,
junior energy minister, it was sneaked out that he He was talking about them raising, hitting us with a carbon tax. All the liberals know how to do is to tax us and tax us and tax us. And okay. If they get reelected, they're going to tax us again.
Thank you. If I just may say a quick note, Mr. Sergio was actually late because he was cutting ribbon at Delta Family Resource Center, which was opening today. It's another nonprofit organization, and he needed to show up there. That was the only reason why he was late. So I just needed to let you know the reason.
Hi. This question is actually going to be directed to Carlene. Carlene, I've worked in the community for the last 16 years, and I wholeheartedly agree with you that Jane and Finch is a wonderful community, rich with culture. The City of Toronto is touted as being the most culturally diverse city in the world. Here it is in Jane and Finch. We see that. I do also agree that we've got an image problem. But my experience of working here 16 years, the biggest problem that we've had with image has been because of the media and the negatively portraying of this community. You said that you worked as the diversity editor, and I just question as far as if you were not able to provide the good news stories in your role there. And I watch CTV all the time, it's my station, and there is not good news stories. The year of the gun violence, Canada AM did it here in Jane and Finch, even though in that year, out of all the black youth that were killed, only one of them was in this community, and it was a domestic violence situation. But yet, nationally, we were portrayed as a violent community. So I just question as far as, can you tell me what good news stories you did then?
Yes.
And why it's going to make a change now?
Okay, I'm happy for the question, and thank you so much. One of the critical things I did as diversity producer was when I got hired at CTV, which was then CFTO, in 1993, I said to my vice president of news, I said, if we're going to show young black men handcuffed and being dragged off in police cars, we need to show them doing other things. And they said, great, Carlene, what stories have you got? So I had the opportunity to pitch story ideas to my news producers. I've covered countless stories about young people who have won scholarships, the Harry Jerome scholarships. I was the first reporter to cover the Harry Jerome Awards in any substantive ways, doing profiles on young people who come from this very community. I was the first reporter to do extensive stories on the now Senator Don Meredith, who came from Jane and Finch, and the work that he was doing with the churches to help young people. I went on marches with some of the ministers who had a march.
Okay,
I profiled these ministers doing the work. It's not about covering the negative stories. I was there. You not watching our newscast on the weekend because that's where my stories are aired.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask, would you like to respond to that question?
How's he going to respond?
No.
It's okay. If questions are directed at candidates, I think it's great for them to answer. And if people want me to answer a question, I'd be happy to be directly asked as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let me first of all commend each one of you for seeking to run for an office in our riding. I also want to say to you, as a middle-class person living in the Jane and Finch community, the word tax is not a dirty three-letter word. So I want you to be able to be honest with us and not tell us, try to sell us that you're going to cut our taxes, because cutting our taxes mean that those who are not able to even have an income tax return are suffering. So I want to know, in the midst of having the city struggling to meet their expenses, what would you be doing to offset the expenses that has been downloaded onto them? And I want to know, how would you make sure that the tax system works for all of us? Those who can afford to pay, what would you do to make sure? But don't tell me you're going to cut my taxes just to satisfy me. I won't be bought by that. So what can you do to make sure all of us pay, who can pay, and make sure everybody gets a piece of the pie? Thank you.
If we can start with Joseph, you can start it. Left to right. Oh, okay, go ahead.
No, I'll go quickly. Sure. I mean, tax cuts, people hear tax cuts. They need to know if that means tax cuts for corporations and rich people, or if it means tax cuts for low-income families, middle-income families, because how are we going to pay for services if all we do is tax? Ontario receives the economic situation of the world. It's a manufacturing, as a manufacturing power. If you cut taxes from large corporations, you're not hurting business as much or at all as you are hurting the revenue base that funds programs. So when you hear parties gonna cut taxes for big business because that's supposed to help you through some trickle-down economics principle, you need to think and realize which parties are looking at cutting taxes for you and which parties want to help big businesses, and you just need to look at their records to get
Thanks,
the answers
Joseph.
To that.
Thank you. We gave a break to young families when we introduced full-day kindergarten, which I have to say, originally, none of the other two parties supported. The reason we did that, first of all, we wanted to give the best education at the earliest possible age. Then we would free parents to go to work, get a full-time job, have the child safe at school, drop her in the morning, pick her up in the afternoon. At the same time, that means that each parent save for each child $6,500 a year. Plus, they are not paying the $1,400 for the five vaccines that they are getting. We did say that there will be no student, no child, that will not go to college or university because of funding. The province will...
Thanks,
well, you know, I watch the others answer and they get a heck of a lot more time. I don't know why I'm being cut all the time very, very short. And it's an important question. I think we should be allowed to answer. We just cut 30% from the students because we want to see them in the school.
Thank you, Mario. It's just that we have a long lineup. We're going to try to reach everyone today. Carlene, would you like to go ahead?
I understand the challenges of many families in York West who are struggling, who are unemployed, and who are on social assistance. They need a lot of supports. One of the biggest challenge for our residents is a lack of jobs and a lack of decent jobs. And this is one of the priority areas for the PC party, to provide supports for families. One of the things we are committed to doing is we will commit to fulfilling the initiative around full-time daycare within the schools. That's one of the things, initiatives we are moving forward with. And it's to stop taxing families, because even if you're in a low-income strata, you're still being taxed to death by the McGuinty Liberals. As a result of the HST, they brought that in
at a
time when families are struggling.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Tom.
That's a very wonderful and important question, actually. And that question actually makes people ask, what kind of society do you want to live in? Do you want to live in a society that has user fees? Who's getting taxed? If you're not, if you're between jobs or if you can't find a job, you're not paying income tax at the moment. If you don't own a property, you're not paying property taxes. You're right. And the answer by the Liberal government when it comes to the tax questions is to reduce and to continuously reduce the corporate tax rate. That means, thanks to their last budget, $1.8 billion of money that could be invested in programs that would have helped people in our very own community here are being used to subsidize businesses that continue to cut jobs, well-paying jobs, and replace them with part-time minimum wage jobs or shipping jobs elsewhere. So yes, when we cut taxes, for instance, to corporations, we, the middle-income, lower-income families of our community, pay those taxes that are used to subsidize others with no strings attached. So I'm with you, it's an important question, and I think everybody needs to ask themselves what kind of a system and what kind of a society should we be fighting for?
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Hi. Before everybody he come to the vote, he talked very nice, and he say, I do this, but after election, nobody do to poor people nothing. I tell you, I live in Toronto community housing. This is 1 month. We don't have water in laundry room. 1 month. Tomorrow will be 1 month. They put $55,000 to change tile and put laundry room. I swear to God, the tile is better than this. And the paint is better than this. The tenant vote to me. To behalf of the tenant, I have to go and to the meeting, everything. I went to the meeting. It was Sylvia and her manager. They told me, if you don't talk, if you talk about another thing except the tile, we kick you out. I say, I will talk what the tenant need and kick me out. I talk and I get the money, $55,000. After 1 week, they change it again to the tiles, to laundry room. Director come to the building. He told me, if you don't close your mouth, we kick you out and you will get it. I went to the mayor. The mayor come to the building and he doesn't agree. And now they put it same thing. And now we don't have water 1 month sink.
Sir, do you have a question? Do you have a question?
Yeah.
Sorry?
Do you have a question?
Yeah, I have. I told you the good thing, they take it. And they put only one small in one laundry room. And 1 month, no water.
If you guys want to tackle it.
No, he's made his point.
All right. Young lady, you look prepared. Okay, sure. Whoever wants. Okay. Okay. Mario.
Sorry. I always forget the mic. It's on the table here. I have been at 35 in Shoreham, I don't know how many times. I really don't know how many times. And to see some of the conditions, not only in 35 Shoreham, I've been in many buildings. I wonder what the city and the local councilors are doing instead of being in those buildings and see that repairs are done efficiently and promptly. The gentleman has been in my office many times. And I told him, I'm willing to do something for you, such as writing the councilor, writing the city of Toronto, whoever is responsible. And he keeps coming back saying, there is nothing I can do. Well, with all due respect, we give Toronto hundreds of millions of dollars to do repairs in housing. And I think the gentleman is quite right when he says, why don't they do it when it needs to be done? Why should they be without
Thank
water?
You, Mario.
A month ago, there was a building here 1 week without hydro.
Thank you very much. Carlene, please.
I'm sorry to hear about your challenge, sir. And one of the things I would do is I would work with you to provide some solutions. I think it's critical that whoever is your MPP, that you have someone that you can come to who could come out to you, who could look into the problems and offer up some substantive solutions to the problems. We've had many of the housing within with the affordable housing stock needs serious repair. Many of these buildings are old and they need serious upgrades. It's something that we have to look into because residents, if you don't have water in your home, that's serious and it's something that we should look into. We should call the media and get that story out, but I'd like to speak with you afterwards.
Thank you, Carlene. Tom, please.
Thank you very much for that question. And thank you to the representative who often shows up for dinners at local community housing and passing off responsibilities. Actually, at the province, there's a lot that could be done more in better funding. A lot of the community housing in our area is crumbling. And actually, to people that are actually in affordable housing that live there right now, we have a very scary situation that's happening at the City of Toronto, and that is that the mayor has now appointed a single individual to make all decisions. You do not have a board of directors anymore. So I would advocate and tell everybody that's in TCH in this community to get out there and argue that we actually need better representation because you actually don't have it TCH right now, and there's a lot that the province could be doing to change that situation. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question.
Hi. as a mom and a student, a lot of the cuts that's going on around the city affects me in a big way. And I'm hearing you guys saying you're going to put certain programs into the community, and some of these programs already exist in the community but are on the line of being cut off. What are you guys doing to make sure that these programs still stay in place? And the second part to my question is, I'm hearing a lot of funding going towards new immigrants. What are you guys doing for the thousands of students that are coming out of universities and colleges that don't have jobs and still have to deal with OSAP?
Thank you very much. Joseph, please.
Okay, I'll make it fast because there's a huge line there. For students, tuition freeze. The Green Party is behind a tuition freeze for university students, tagged to next year. $300 million for training programs for non-university students to get training in job sectors, manufacturing sectors, non-university-based jobs. And what was the first part of your question before the university freeze? Oh, and funding. People need to look at which parties are going to be, I mean, you said existing, you need to look at what parties are going to cut funding by cutting tax and which parties are going to keep funding through historically or through their dedication to continuing programs rather than cutting programs and cutting tax. That's what I have to say to that answer.
Thank you, Joseph. Mario.
We increased education, both at the primary levels, college and universities, by 66%. I can still see Mike Harris holding an envelope saying, I will not close hospitals, I will not close schools, I will not fire teachers, and then what he did. The NDP did even worse. They said that they were gonna lower tuition fees, then they said they were gonna freeze tuition fees, and then they jacked them up 55% all at once. We removed the cap. We are assisting students by 66% more money. There is no student that will be refused to go to college or university because of funding. We have been declared the best school system in the world because we keep teachers in the classroom. Prior administration, we had to have one strike, one confrontation, one cut every week.
Thank you,
in
Mario.
8 years, we didn't have 1 hour of lost class studies.
Thank you very much.
In 2003, McGuinty looked at everybody and says, I will not raise your taxes. I will not implement any new taxes unless without the consent of voters. And he's hit us with at least 5 or 6 tax increases with more to come if he's elected. I raise that as it's a critical point because this is what is killing our opportunities here in our province and also in this riding. Services are being cut because Mr. McGuinty, I was shocked he picked up $50 million just 2-3 weeks ago and gave it to Magna Inc. $70 million to Toyota just to do research at a time when we need services for our young people. So it's all about what we do with our dollars, how we respect the hard-earned tax dollars and spend it wisely so we provide service for young people. The PC party is going to eliminate the waste and pump more money into education and into job creations, into supporting businesses. We will introduce a small business bill of rights that will open up
Thank
government
you,
contracts to small businesses and reduce taxes
Thank
on small businesses
much.
So we can create
Thank
jobs.
You.
A lot of residents.
Tom,
please. You know, it's worth mentioning, some of the best Canadian fiction actually occurs, and there are liberal platforms at election times. Since 2003, I'm still waiting for a whole lot of promises that the government, that our local MPP has been a part of for the last 8 years. Tuitions have actually rose 30% since he's been in office. Now they're making all kinds of promises with regards to tuition. I don't believe any of it. I've actually been in the universities. I'm a local graduate from schools in this community. There's so many things that we could actually do. You raise concerns about nonprofits. There was a wonderful idea about microcredits to actually create entrepreneurship opportunities in this community. Elspeth Hayworth was actually a part of that, those initial meetings. Mr. Barry Reeder was at one of the ones who asked questions, who was part of those meetings as well. Our MPP wasn't. There's so much that we could be advocating for if we had strong local representation. So I'm not interested in hearing Liberal promises. They usually don't come true, just like Miss Nation promised with regards to the tax cuts that McGuinty said would never happen, the tax increases, and they continue to happen. So yes, there's a major problem. Our students can't afford tuition, and they're graduating with huge debts without jobs.
Thank
it's a
you,
problem.
Tom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, right now, it's unfortunately 7:50. I know there's a lot of people lining up, but we're going to get to one last question. And then after that, I'd like to give 2 minutes to each candidate to close. So this is the last question. Thank you very much. Thank you for lining up. You can bother them after.
Hello. Okay. I'm a parent of a disabled child, and I've been listening to all your conversations and all your parties. I haven't heard anybody talk about accessible housing for disabled and anything that the government can help with disabled families. I have been living in a metro housing for a long time, and I have been carrying my daughter, who is 68 pounds, on upstairs and downstairs, and she doesn't have any access. How would you guys help us with all those, especially with the Liberal? I've been voting for Liberal for so many years, and I have seen McGuinty on TV commercialing all his, with a lot of commercials, but I haven't seen anything about disabled families with their children.
Thank you. Joseph.
I will ask
Dad.
Hello?
Let him go.
She asked him how. Here, here,
girls.
Is that on?
You know
what?
Hello?
You know what? Come here.
Try your phone. Try yours now. Turn yours back on.
Yeah, it should be on.
Hello? Yeah, now it's on. You know, my goodness. Really?
Can we have his mic on, please?
Hello? 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 Now it's on. Okay. You know, you look back at 2003. The healthcare was decimated. The cuts to funding were so deep that 7 ambulances would be outside the emergency and they couldn't find a room in Toronto. We turned all of that around. We put more money for disabled, young kids, hospital care, nursing, seniors than ever before, a 66% increase. Granted, may not be never enough, but to say that we didn't do anything, it's absolutely wrong. We built 18 new hospitals. We hired 11,000 nurses, 11,350. We have more nursing and daycares than ever before. And to say that we are not doing much
Thank
for
you.
Children, it is absolutely not acceptable.
Thank you very much, Mara. Carlene.
I'm really sorry to hear that you're having such a challenge finding accessible housing for your child. It's something I'd like to talk to you about because we need to get you some help, and I will do what I can to help you. I've got a big voice, and I will call whoever we need to call so that you, your child, can get some accessible, an accessible place to live. Your child is in a wheelchair, is that your understanding? And so you're in a home right now that has stairs, and you couldn't get any help from the city? Is that it? Well, so your child is in a home right now in a wheelchair with stairs and can't get around in the home. That's shameful, and we have to do something about that. So I'll speak to you when this is done. We have to help. I am a person with a disability myself. I understand, and I've fought as a reporter. I fought for people with disabilities.
Thank you, Carly.
I've highlighted their challenges
Thank
and covered
much.
Their stories so we can get support for people with disabilities. It's a passion of mine. It's something I will work on.
Thank you.
Be elected on October 6th.
Tom, please.
I just want to give my respect to Miss Nation as well, through her own fight and her own struggles. It's time to change your vote. The funding formula has been broken for 8 years. The Liberal government has had a chance to fix that. It is inequitable funding. Communities, our schools, are not getting the supports. Parents are being forced to have to fundraise, and in low-income communities, they simply can't do that. So parents like you actually have to have their children at home waiting. So while the Liberals want to talk about opening schools, perhaps in Wawa, Ontario, wherever it's happening, people in Jane and Finch want answers for their own community, and they're not getting those answers. And with regards to healthcare, there were 10,000 members of this community who signed a petition asking their own representative, Mr. Sergio, to bring their concerns to legislature. He did not do that. They had to go to an NDP member, not even in this riding, to actually go and read out their petitions there. So there's a lack of confidence. We have a respected physician in this area who's actually talked about the need for health care here in the Jane and Finch community. There's so much more that has to be done in our community. We require strong advocacy.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you. All right, looks like it's almost 8 o'clock, so we're gonna go left to right to give each candidate 2 minutes. I'm gonna try to be ruthless now, but you're gonna have a whole 2 minutes to have some closing remarks and try to convince these people why they should vote for you. We'll go ahead with Joseph, please.
I guess for old time's sake, I'm going first again. you've seen arguments up here for different policies. Sometimes you haven't seen your questions answered. The woman with the baby who asked a question about social cuts didn't exactly get her question answered by everybody. I want to wrap up the Green Party's policies. Certainly funding, not tax cuts, would be something that underlies the Green Party's ideas and something that came up quite often here. You're going to hear from that the tax cuts are what's going to help you, but at the same time you're going to ask, Where is funding for programs, for schools, for healthcare, for after-school programs, for police? And if your major principle of your party is to cut taxes for corporations, then I don't see how you're planning to pay for all these supposed programs to continue existing. It's fine and well to speak to individuals as they come up, but at a systematic level, how are you supposed to deal with thousands and thousands of cases if you're simply ripping the social net from under people's feet? I guess that'd be my conclusion that I hope people take away from tonight. Looking forward to vote. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Joseph. Mario.
Okay. First of all, I want to thank the organizers of tonight's get-together here. When you're ready to vote, I hope that you will ask yourself this question. Change from what to what? 2003, we took power. We started to create jobs because the economy was in shambles. We had to rebuild the healthcare system. We built 18 new hospitals. We opened up 400 new schools. We promised that we would have 23 kids or less in each class, and we did. We did say that we would be opening up the new hospital, and it's coming. I did promise that we would be bringing the subway to York University, and it's coming. We will be eliminating, hopefully, some of the 1,600 buses going to York University every day. 3,000 jobs are being created. With all due respect, the NDP and Howard Hampton, they voted against the extension of the subway and the job, even though the subway cars are being built up north in his own riding. We are creating, we have become world leaders in clean, renewable energies. Companies are coming to Ontario to open up factories, creating jobs for Ontarians. We have regained all the jobs that we had lost in the auto industry. We are again number one in building cars in North America, Michigan, the States, Canada. We are back to number one. The beauty is 87% of those jobs are full-time jobs. Education is the most important. You look at the TV, the radio, or newspapers, the world economy is changing. We have a new economy. If we don't have the proper schooling for our kids to compete in the next world market, we will be leaving them behind, and we are going to be left behind. So I think education, healthcare, and jobs, I will continue to work on that, to pound on that, and serve the community after October the 6th.
Thank you.
Hope you consider voting for Liberal. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Sergio would like us to forget that the Liberals have been in office for 8 years. And over the past 8 years, they've done the following. They've raised our taxes time and time and time again, even though in 2003, Mr. McGuinty got up, look everybody in the eye, and says, I will not raise your taxes without the consent of voters. And even though 70% of the voters of this province said they didn't want the HST, they rammed it through and slammed it on just about everything. And it's having dire consequences for families and businesses in this province. We are feeling the impact of it right here in York West. We have countless thousands of young people unemployed, no programs. We have students struggling. Mr. McGuinty is creating a lot of opportunities, giving $70 million to students internationally. That money should come here for students locally. We need to support seniors. We need to drop the HST, remove the HST from hydro bills. The NDP will not remove the HST from your hydro bills. At first they said they were going to do that, they will not do that now. And the McGuinty Liberals plan to tax us more and more and more. I've spent the past 16 years covering stories right across the GTA. I'm responsible for increasing the diversity, the representation of diverse faces in our local and national newsrooms. I've gone out there finding the stories in all the communities, highlighting all the successes in communities, especially here in York West. I've hosted countless fundraisers, and I've spoken to countless groups of young people in schools right across the GTA, encouraging young people to get into journalism, encouraging them to continue their education, and advising them, advising single parents, because I'm a single mom. I raise a child on my own with support from my family.
Thank you
very much, Carlene. I understand the challenges of single parents.
Thank you.
I will work with community.
Thank you very much, Carlene. Thank you very much. Tom.
Thank you very much for having us. Wonderful turnout, wonderful questions. If you listen to the Conservatives, they'll tell you you're living in hell. And if you listen to the Liberals, they'll tell you you're living in heaven here in Ontario. I just want to work to make my home better. You know what the Conservatives are. Just look at what the mayor's doing and what the prime minister's doing. Miss Nation, if you want to help this community, I've got NDP membership forms in my office. You're welcome to join us. Mr. Sergio, welcome to the community. Welcome to the community, Miss Nation. Mr. Sergio, am I going to get extra time?
No, keep on going, Tom.
I welcome her. I've got NDP membership forms in the office, all right? Mr. Sergio. Mr. Sergio, I've got a lot of respect for you, okay? You've represented the area for a long time. But it's time for change. That's what I'm hearing at the doors. You're facing struggles. I'm not here to bring you a platform that affects people that don't live in this community. I'm here to talk about change in Jane and Finch, the community I've lived all my life in, the community I went to school in. I love this community. Let's begin the journey together. Let's work together. I love my community. Thank you.
I'd like to thank all the candidates for coming out tonight. I'd like to thank all the residents for showing their support and taking an interest in this election. It's very important to be engaged. I'm sure they'll make themselves available, so if you guys want to ask them some questions afterwards, please go ahead. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Jane Finch Mall, and thanks, everyone, for coming out tonight. Good night.
And a personal thank you to Paul and Jane Finch Mall and Jane and Finch Family Community Center, as well as Elspeth Hayward Center. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.